Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Yod Bet Amud Bet. And as promised, we're going to go back to Daf Tet Amud Bet, look back at the Mishnah, and see the next couple of terms that are going to be explicated and analyzed in this sugya. The middle of the Mishnah lists type of properties and type of circumstances where the laws that we have been dealing with of chiyuv tashlumin, tashlumin meitav, apply. And the first one is nechasim she'ein bahen me'ilah. Literally, property to which the law of me'ilah does not attach. Me'ilah is that violation of the hekdesh, where a person takes, for instance, an animal of chodshim and uses it for himself. So the implication is that it only applies to private property, not to mikdash property. But if that's the case, I'd have to read differently. Let's see. Back to Yod Ben Amud Ben, Nechasim Shein Ben Mila. Mila hu delepa hu ha-mikdash kadshi. So the easier way for the text to say it would be Nechasim She'em Lo Hekdesh, or Nechasim She'em Chulin. The fact that it said She'in Bahin Me'ilah, it must mean that it could include some kinds of kodshim, as long as they don't have Me'ilah attached. Mantana, and this, well, you may remember from the end of the second, towards the end of the second parak of Kiddushin. We could only be referring to Kodshim Kalim, and only according to Yossi Aglili. Da'amar Mamon Ba'alim, who he claims that Kodshim Kalim belong to the owner, they don't belong to Hashem. Titanya, Umal Amal Ba'adonai, and this is misleading because even though it uses the word Me'ilah, this is really a reference to Shvuat HaPikadon. If a person is asked to watch or offers to watch or whatever the case may be, Pikadon, and he deals negligently or worse with it, denies it and takes an oath, that's called Shvuat HaPikadon. You don't have to deny it to take Shvuat HaPikadon, to be lying to take Shvuat HaPikadon, but it's considered me'ilah if he lied. Why does it say Uma'ala Ma'al Bashem L'rabot Kodshim Kalim Shein Mamono de Rabbi Yossi Aglili? In other words, the mention of God's name in the context of the property means even something that is sort of God's property, and it's Rabbi Yossi Aglili who says that's Kodshim Kalim that still belong to the fellow. V'hatnan, we have the Mishnah from which this whole discussion started in Kiddushin. Hamakarish Bechelko Ben Kodshim Kalim En Mekudeshet. So the Mishnah that says that if you give a woman kiddushin from your chelik, let's say you're a kohen, and it's your portion in an animal, it's kodshim, the kiddushin aren't valid because it doesn't belong to you. So lema to look at Yossi Aglili, so you're going to suggest that Mishnah does not accord with Yossi Aglili. The answer is no, afilu tem Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And then we went through this entire discussion in kiddushin. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Michaim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that it belongs to you when it's alive. Even he agrees that when you eat it after Shechita, you're eating it from God's table. It's Kodshim, belongs to Hashem, and you get to eat it. Now, but since when does he claim that while it's alive, it's yours? You can sell him if he's tam and not yet been shechted, ubalmum chay v'shachut. If it's a balmum, you could sell him whether he's alive or already nishchat. Umekadshin bo ta'isha, the kohen who owns it can use it for kiddushin, and that's not the end of it. V'yam rachma rab ravua lo shanu el b'chor bisman hazeh. He said that only applies to b'chor in our day when there's no beit hamikdash. The kevan lo chazil akrava, since you can't bring it as a korban, eat luhu lekohanim zechia b'gavayo. Kohanim own it. Implication being that Kohanim do not own it at all beforehand, when there was a Beit HaMikdash, even while it's alive. And continuing that was Rav Nachman's interpretation. So Rav is Talmid, asked Rav Nachman, so he challenged him with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. What did Ravina answer? Perhaps Rav Nachman answered this. The entire thing is talking about a b'chor b'chutz l'aretz. Rav Shimon has a particular shita of b'chor behema tahora outside of Israel. That if you bring a b'chor behema tahora that was born without a blemish and still has no blemish, and you bring it to Israel, then you can bring it as a korban. Only if they came, but l'chatchila you don't bring them. So it's a b'chor b'chutz l'aretz, belongs to the kohen. But v'im ita the chemer mesaglim amonahum lishni harbi yosei aglili harabanan. Rav Nachman would have a very simple answer to Rava. He doesn't have to say it's talking about Rav Shimon and Chutz Laretz. He could just say that that Mishnah that says that the Bechor can be sold chai, and that we interpreted that that's only talking Bizman Hazeh, sure, because that's according to Rabbanan. Rav Yosef Glili would say that even Bizman HaMikdash you could. Why doesn't he answer that way? It must be because Rav Yosef Glili maintains that even while alive, it's not Mamono. So that's the challenge. So Amar lo, Amar lacha, Rav Nachman answer, Matana kunuka kuna kamart. You're challenging me for Matnot Kahuna? Shamanot Kahuna chi kazachu bishochan gavah kazachu. Nachman says that all Matnot Kahuna, meaning the Bechor and the Chazev Ashok of Ashlamim, and these sort of things are given by the person to God, and God gives them to the Kohen. So therefore, they're not Mamon Kohen. Right? Now, let's go back to Sear Drasha. Gufa, so we're still are in the position of saying that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the author of our Mishnah, who refers to Nechasim, specifically Nechasim She'en Behem Me'ila, meaning there are some Kodshim that to which the law of Nezikim would apply, but if they're Kodshi Kodshim, for instance, then it wouldn't because their Me'ila attaches. Now, Umal Amal Badunai, the Abot Kodshim Kalim, She'en Mamono, Dibbe Segli, that's our Drasha. But there's two other approaches. But now Zeomer, Lirabot Eta Shlamim, it's there to include Shlamim. He interpreted Ben Azai saying it only applies to Bechor. Now, let's take a look at this. Amar Mar Ben Azai Omer, so let's look at opinion number two. So if that's the case, what is he excluding? What is he coming to disagree with and exclude? If you think he's trying to exclude the Bechor that Abba Yossi includes in his name, Hash, thinking about this. Umash, Shlamim Shetun, Smicha, Unasachim, Utnufat Chazav Ashok. After all, Shlamim have all sorts of demands. You have to do Smicha and Shlamim. And you have to bring in a Sachim with a Shlamim. And you have to lift it up and give the Chazav Ashok to the Kohanim. You have to lift up the Chazav Ashok and give it to the Kohanim. You have these three extra demands that Shlamim have that Bechor doesn't have. Nonetheless, Amart Mamun Baalim, who? Nonetheless, Ben Azai says that's Mamun Baalim. Bechor Mim Baia, certainly Bechor Mim Mamun Baalim. So Elam Rabbi Yochanan Lemute Maaser, when he says Rabot et Hashlamim, he says, but not Maaser. In other words, he disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Glili. Rabbi Yossi Glili says all Kodshim Kalim are Mamon Baalim. But Azai says, no, it's not true, just Shlamim. What's he cutting out? He can't be cutting out Bechor, because that's more obvious than Shlamim. It must be that he's cutting out Maaser, meaning Maaser Behema. Ketanya, Bechor Ne'amar Lo Tifdeh, V'nimkar Chtam Chayu Baal Mum Chay V'Shachut. In the context of Bechor, it says you cannot redeem him. You're allowed to sell him, though, the halacha is. In all sorts of circumstances, the only one that you can't sell him is that if he's already shachut and tam. That means it could be brought, it's already a korban. However, b'masin emar lo yigael, it can't be redeemed at all. Venim kar lo chai, lo shachut, lo tam, lo balmum. It can't be sold in any case, though, not whether it's blemished, not blemished, whether it's chai or shachut. All right, so we see from Yochanan that Maaser Behema is more severe than regular Shlamim, and certainly more severe than Bechor. It's more severe than Bechor, and therefore, when Ben Azai says that Shlamim are included, he's excluding Maaser Behema. All right, that the Torah already placed that in the property of the Mikdash, and it's not a voluntary gift of yours. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ravina, Matni La Sefer. Ravina learned that whole discussion with Rabbi Yochanan being the solution as being a comment on the last take of the Braita, which is Abba Yossi Ben Dustai Omer Lo Amar Ben Azai El B'Bechor Belvad. He said it only applies to Bechor. Lemute Mai, what's he trying to exclude? Imleimu Lemute Shlamim. So now we're going to turn our logic inside out. We say Ben Azai didn't mean to exclude Shlamim according to Abba Yossi, because the following, Ashtama Bechor Shekodosh Mirechem, think about this, a Bechor is more belonging to God because it is, and it's already Kodosh in utero. So Mamono, who's nonetheless, we're willing to say that that belongs to the owner, Shlamim, by Shlamim that you designate well after it's alive, say, that'll be my Shlamim, certainly that belongs to you. So Yochanan Lemute Maaser, Ketanim Bechor, Yamar Lo Tfeh, V'nimkar, Tam Chai, U'bal Mum, Chai v'shachut, maaser namar lo yigael, v'nun kar lo chai v'lo shachut, lo tam v'lo bamum. Okay, good. But the problem with that last take is, haba b'chor b'lvad kamar. What is Abba Yossi's take? he said that Benazai said Bechor Bilvad, meaning only Bechor, which means it cuts out everything, including Shlamim. So Akasha is difficult. Now Rava tried to reconcile the problem differently. Says, what does that phrase mean in our Mishnah? It doesn't mean, but some kochim are in, and that's kochim kalim alibir biosiglili. He said, nechasim shein behen din me'ila, meaning any hekdesh, because the law of me'ila applies in one way or another. Ma'ininu dehedyot, meaning only private citizens of stuff, and not anything belonging to the mikdash. However, that's the case, v'litni dehedyot. So why doesn't the Mishnah just say that? Why doesn't the Mishnah just say, nechasim shel hedyot? The answer is kasha. You're right, that's difficult. All right, so now let's take a look at a tangent on the issue of kodshim. We saw something earlier on about Shor Shel Hekdesh and around Dafav. Now we're going to take a look at another piece about the role of animals that belong to the Mikdash within the world of Nezikin. Rabbi Abba, Shlomim Sheiziku. You have a carbon Shlomim. It's obviously not killed yet, and it goes out and does damage. Govim Ibsaran Veino Govim Imurain. You can only collect, and we're assuming here it's a tam. And remember, how do you pay for a tam? You pay for migufo. So you can only collect from its meat and not from the emurim. The emurim are the part of the animal that go on the mizbeach. Say, pshita. Emurim the gavar zalki. How would you think that you could collect those fats and everything else from the animal that goes on the mizbeach? So lo tzricha, what does it mean? Legovim mibsaran keneged emurim. Meaning that you're going to say as follows. I have the animal has to pay for half the damage. That's tam. My damage is $1,000. The meat of this animal is worth, $800. All right? It was coming to me as $500. So I'm going to collect the full $500 that's coming to me, and it'll all come out of the flesh, but some of that is kind of corresponding to the part that I should be collecting from the Emurim. Now, the question is Aliba Deman, and this takes us to a machloket in the later on in the middle of the Masechet between Rabban and Rabbi Natan about what happens if a shore is walking around near a pit. Another person's shore comes along and pushes it into the pit, which means there's like two different mazikim. There's three different players here. There's the guy who owns the shore that gets damaged, the guy who owns the shore that does the pushing, and a third guy who owns the board. And there's machloket Rabban and Rabbanan about who pays. As follows, or shall we say, how far the payment extends. Let's see. Iyalibid Rabbanim Pshita. Ha'amri ki leikel ishtalum mehai lo ishtalum mehai. The Rabbanim's position is that if the shore that pushed him in, it's a short time, if there's not enough to cover half of the damages, you don't collect the rest from the balabor. All you can collect is half of them from the shore. So clearly, in that case, they say if you can't collect from one, you can't extend the payment to the other piece. Certainly here, you're not going to collect more than 50% of the basar of the animal, even though that might not make up your full half payment. V'yalibud Rabbi Natan said, if there's not enough to cover the shore from the shore that pushed him in, you collect the rest from the owner of the board. So if that's the case, if the animal is not big enough to be able to pay for the half damages for the one it hurt or killed from the basar alone, then the basar corresponding to the emurim, meaning there's more of the basar, has to be used to pay, just like there. The answer is ibaitim Rabbanan, ibaitim Rabbanan. The answer is that this statement could fit both Rabbanan or it could fit Rabbi Natan. And we'll make the following distinctions. Ibaitim Rabbanan, it could be the Rabbanan who said that the owner of the pit does not pay. So I would think, Hanimila betray Gufi. I would think that's because there's two different owners and two different mazikin. Abachad Gufa, here it's one animal. So I would think, Matzi Amarle, Mikol Hechadabayinim Ishtalamna. I'm going to take my collection from wherever I can take it. So that's why we have to teach, not me, I'm Muim. Ibaitem Rabbi Natan, you could say it's Rabbi Natan. Hatam Huda Amarle Baal Shor Labal Habor, because in that case, the owner of the shore says to the owner of the shore who was damaged, says to the owner of the boar, Anatorai Babirach Hashkachte, I came and found my ox in your pit. My delay lishlumihach, mishtalimna minach. Whatever I can't collect out of him, his ox is worth $500, so half of that's $250. My ox was worth $1,000, so my half is $500. So the other $250 I'm going to collect from you. However, avalhacha mi matziamar basar azik imurin lo azik, but here, he can't say only your basar hurt me, and now the imurin is a separate thing. It's obviously all one animal, so you could only go out of that part which is accessible to you, which is the basar, not the imurin. All right. Amarava toda shizika. If you have a korban toda that went out and did damage, gova mibsara. The nizak can collect from the meat of it. Meaning, once you bring the korban toda, and this is what happened before with the Emurim, once you collect from the korban toda, now the nizak gets to eat, that's his meat, that he now gets to eat up to 50% again. Ve'eno gova milachma, but he cannot collect from the lachme toda. Lachme toda are not part of the animal. So, lachem shita, obviously he can't collect from the bread. So, a sefer tzrichale, because we needed the next part of the statement, that's the chiddush. Nizak ochel basar, the nizak has to eat the meat, umit kapar mevilachem, and the owner of the animal, who doesn't get to eat the meat perhaps, it still brings the lachem. So, nami pshita, that's also obvious. Mahoratema, kivan the lachem echsherit azevachu, I would think that since the lachem is a matir for the korban, lemale ata chal basar va'ana aiti lachem, why should I bring the bread if you're eating the basar? You bring the bread. So, the answer is no. The lechem is not just a machshir for the korban. It's an obligation on the bialim. The bialim brought a korban toda because they had some nice thing happen to them. They brought to bring a korban toda. They brought the animal. Before the animal was killed, the animal went out and did damage. So now the flesh of that animal, the emurim go to the mizbeach, go to the kohanim. The basar of the animal that they should rightfully be eaten now goes to the nizak. But the lechem is their own obligation and they have to bring it. Okay, the next line in the Mishnah, if you want to take a look back on Daf Ter Amud Bet, is Nachasim Shein Shel B'nei Brit. Means that all of these laws apply only to property owned by Jews. Now, Limutei Mai, what's that excluding? I Limutei De'ovid Kochavim, if it's excluding what happens when a Jew's ox gores a non-Jew's ox or vice versa. Haktan Lakaman, Choshel Yisrael, Shunaka Shalodokaram Bater. We have that later on in the Mishnah, a couple parakim. In Perek Daled, it says that if a Jew's shore is gores a non-Jew's shore, he's pater. So the answer is, you're right, Tana b'hadar b'farsh. Our Perek, as we've already seen, is presenting broad strokes sort of topic sentences. And this Mishnah is an good example, and the next Mishnah is a good example. It has these kind of cryptic half lines. Nechazim shel b'nei bri, nechazim shein b'nei me'ila, right, reshut ha-nizak, etc., as we'll see in the next podcast. So he says, yes, this is outline. It's kind of sketching the basic contours. And then later on throughout the Masechet, these things are developed. We'll stop at this point. And the next podcast, Mirza Hashem, we will finish up to the end of the analysis of this Mishnah as we look at the issue of Nechasim Yuchadim, Rishut Haniza, Mimazik, and the larger discussion, which will be about what happens if an animal does damage in property co-owned by the Mazik and the Nizak. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.